Thank you for being here tonight. Thank you for spending this time of worship with the family of God as we gather together. Father, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts, Father, would be pleasing and acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I think you've heard me say this before. I love Christmas. I am a Christmas nut. I'm a Christmas fanatic. I love the stories of Christmas. I love the sounds of Christmas. I love the fact that I thought we were going to get a white Christmas the way it was sleeting and stuff tonight. And who knows, maybe we will, you know? I love the story about the angel, how the angel came to Mary and said, you're going to birth a son. And how Joseph didn't know what was going on until the angel says, no, don't divorce Mary. You're going to stay with her. You're going to raise this child. And this child's from God. I think about the shepherds. You know, I always thought that they was this scruffy group of smelly, stinky people you would have never let into a birthing room, right? But they weren't. Bethlehem was in charge of raising all of the lambs and sheep that would be sacrificed at the temple. And so they had a very important job. It was only 6 miles away from Jerusalem. So these were very, very important shepherds because the sheep that they were taking care of were so, so important. And it's amazing to me how God works in all the details, right? Says that he was going to be born in Bethlehem. That's what Micah tells us in chapter 5. It says, O you, Bethlehem Ephratah, from you, even though you're the smallest of the clans of Judah, from you will come forth the Savior. Bethlehem means house of bread, and Jesus is the bread of life. And not just that, the shepherds that come, we know that Jesus is our great shepherd, but the fact that they took care of all of the lambs that were supposed to take care, that were to be offered to sacrifice, and here was Jesus to be the Lamb of God that was to be sacrificed for all of us. It's amazing to me how God works in all these details. I think of the other Christmas stories when you turn on the TV. George Bailey, he gets repaid for all of his good deeds. Clarence, the angel, he gets his wings. That bullied and physically challenged reindeer turns out to be a hero and ends up with the girl. That bitter, mean Ebenezer Scrooge becomes the nicest, most giving man in town. And the Grinch's heart, remember what happens? It grows 3 times its size. These stories all kind of tap into the good news. They tap into good winning out over evil, that it's all going to be happy ever after. All of these tales paint what is wrapped up in our Christmas story. The fact that a baby is born in the humblest of circumstances becomes a man who is crucified, mocked, then rises victorious over sin, death, and hell. What a great message of hope. We heard the familiar Christmas story as Sandra read it from Luke chapter 2. I want to look at Matthew's take on the birth of Jesus because it's a little bit different. It's a little bit different. When we listen to the story from Luke, we get this pastoral picture. You know, that suddenly there was this bright light and the shepherds were afraid and the angel said, don't be afraid and you're to go to Bethlehem. And they go to Bethlehem and they find Joseph and Mary and Jesus in a manger. And they worship him and all of this stuff is going on and yet Mary stays quiet and ponders everything in her heart. It's so serene, so pastoral. Matthew is not that way. Matthew starts with a long, 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 long genealogy. In fact, I'm going to read it to you. I'm not going to read all of it to you. But it's family pedigree. A couple things that Matthew is doing here. Number one, he's showing from Father Abraham, he's showing from Abraham all the way through to Jesus Christ, his family tree. Now, I started thinking about my family tree. I kind of shared with you on Sunday that my dad was really big into that, and my brother Danny actually has kind of picked up the thing, and Danny's found like all these like people that were, oh, this guy was like a king or a prince or something. It's like, well, he must have been on the other side of the family because we didn't get anything from it, right? But we look at our family trees. We look at it, and it's almost like a resume. We want to put forward the best, right? We want to scrub from our family trees like that great-great-grandfather that was the village idiot. You know, we don't want him there. We don't want him there. We want this pristine, like, oh, if you do this and this and this, look, we come from royalty. The way this works is we shed the best possible light on our tree, just like we do our resumes. For example, in a resume, for example, you don't want to put down that I tend to be late and I'd like to eat other people's lunches from the company fridge. Don't put that down. Some things, if you can't think of a skill or anything, you might want to do, especially during 2020, hey, I emit a pleasant aroma. You know, that may be good. Or you can say that I am FCE qualified. Well, what is that, Paul? Well, that means I am Facebook certified expert. Another one, I've got possible ESP, and I can eat a lot in one sitting. The way that it works, we send our best things. We get rid of the unsavory characters. But Jesus had a spectacular resume. Abraham, David, Solomon, all of these famous people that are in his line. And so I want to share with you some of his line. And you're thinking, what does this genealogy have to do with the Christmas thing? I'll tell you. It starts off this way, the book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. In other words, Matthew is saying, Jesus was a real person. Here's his pedigree. Here is his lineage. I'll trace it from Abraham all the way down to when Jesus was born. He says this, Abraham was the father of Isaac. And we know Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, right? Abraham was the father of Isaac, but he had another son before Isaac. Remember? Remember with the handmaid or with the maid kind of thing? So Abraham's not like, you know, it's not the purest of lineage here. So Abraham was the father of Isaac. Isaac, the father of Jacob. Remember Jacob? You know, he stole the birthright. Remember how he put fake hair on his hands and rubbed himself all in musk? You know, that Jovan musk oil or whatever, put it all on him. So when father came in there, he thought it was Esau. You know, he tricked, he was a deceiver. Not necessarily the best of characters there, but we think of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, right? Jacob, the father of Judah and his brothers. Well, then we get to Judah. What about Judah? Well, Judah was the father of Perez and Zerah by Tamar. Think that's pretty good, right? Except Tamar was his daughter-in-law. Was his daughter-in-law. It's like, man, how does that work? I thought that only worked in Alabama. I don't know, right? Then you go on down. I mean, does he drop a name here? In verse 6, he says, and Jesse was the father of David the king, you know? And that's found in Matthew chapter 1, verse 6. Is Matthew now just kind of name-dropping? Hey, not only Abraham, but he comes from King David, right? Maybe he's just doing that. But let's go back. Verse 3. Judah, the father of Perez and Zerah by Tamar. Tamar was his father-in-law. You can see, read that story. It's kind of sorted in Genesis chapter 38. Verse 5. Salmon, the father of Boaz by Rahab. What do we know about Rahab? Well, she's in Hebrews chapter 11. She's a warrior of faith. She was also a prostitute. In Hebrews, the word is porneia, Rahab porneia. In other words, she was a harlot. She was a prostitute. The word used in the Old Testament back in Joshua chapter 6 was she was a prostitute. Kind of want to get her out of Jesus' line. What do you think? You know, don't want her there. David, verse 6, David was the father of Solomon by the wife of Uriah. He doesn't even say Bathsheba. Because he stole that wife and committed murder to keep her. That's in 2 Samuel. See, what I like about Matthew's story is there's no scrubbing, there's no cleaning, it hasn't been disinfected. It's filled with dysfunction, it's filled with problems, it's filled with dirt and chaos and murderers and thieves. Why do that? Why tell it all? I'll tell you why, because it's true. Every single bit of it is true. Matthew is giving us a true picture of what really happened. He's not writing a fairy tale where everything turns out happily ever after. He's showing all of the warts. He's showing all of the flaws. He's showing how all of us, broken and weird people, with all of our sins, all of our darkness, all of our junk, that we can still be part of the lineage of Jesus Christ. And so he begins with Abraham, and he recounts generation to generation of real people, real flesh, real blood, of not so perfect people, and he leads us to Jesus, who is called the Christ. This is exactly what Matthew wants to do. He doesn't want to sugarcoat it. He doesn't want to just say, you know, it would have been pretty cool to say, you know, Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, you know, because we say, you know, Jesus is from the line of Abraham, you know, Isaac and Jacob, and King David, you know, and we want to forget about the Bathsheba part. We want to forget about the Rahab part. We want to forget about the Abraham part at times. We want to forget about David being a murderer, an adulterer. Not only when we look at this, this is amazing to me. When we look at this lineage, we see who Jesus came from, but who he came for. Who he came for. He came for us that were outside of perfect. That's the good news. There are kings in this line, faithful, righteous, but there's also liars, and there's also adulterers and manipulators and murderers. And that's the good news of the coming of Jesus. Through his perfect life and death and resurrection, God will forgive us, and God adopts us into his family, any and everyone who believes that Jesus is our Lord and Savior, and not just this annual tale that we tell once a year. Even better, Matthew ends it with this. He says, and Jacob, the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom Jesus was born, who is called Christ. He ends it there with Jesus Christ, right? But the better news is the lineage of Jesus Christ doesn't stop there. Do you realize that? We are being adopted into his family. When we accept Christ, the line continues from Jesus to you, from Jesus to me. And we are part of the same family, the same lineage that God is. That Jesus is. We are part of that. I love this here. He even talks about Joseph. Listen, now the birth of Jesus Christ, I'm starting in verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. See, there was, you know, this isn't like a normal thing. This isn't a normal way to, you get betrothed, right? You go through that courtship phase, you sign the contracts and everything. Then on your wedding night, you go and consummate your wedding, marriage. But here's Mary already pregnant. It's not supposed to work that way. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. That's the Jesus who we celebrate in the manger tonight. Paul puts it this way. In Galatians, in his letter, he says, for in Christ Jesus you are all sons of God through faith. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ, you have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is no male or female. You are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring. Do you see? Starting at Abraham, when you go down, you put your name on there. That Jesus is mine and I am his. Because of that, this lineage is mine. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Judah, Perez, Hezron, Ram, Jesus, you. No racial discrimination. You could be Jew, you could be Greek, you could be African, European, Spanish. We are all the same in Jesus Christ. No divisions. No social, no economic divisions. You could be a janitor, you could be a CEO, you could be a king, you could be a slave, and anything in between, we are all the same in Jesus Christ. And gender, oh, the hot topic of today, gender doesn't determine your status with Jesus. There is real hope and real joy, real life, real people, real events, and your name is added to the children of Abraham. That's the good news. And then when you go back and look at all of the other Christmas stories, they're not diminished. I think they're enhanced because before we knew Christ, we were like Scrooge. We were living for ourselves. We were doing everything. But once Jesus Christ came into our lives, we became more generous, more open, more giving. Like the Grinch, you know, bah humbug on everything. But when Jesus comes into our heart, it grows three times its size. And we're filled with love. We don't believe in fairy tales. They're good stories. We don't believe in that. But we believe in the truth as it's found in the gospel. Is it true? Yes, it is. Because you can go to Abraham. You could trace it all the way down. And there was a Jesus Christ who was born in Bethlehem. It's true. People want to argue about it, but it's true. He redeems people. He makes the imperfect perfect. We don't believe in fairy tales, but through Jesus, messed up people in his tree, the knots in Jesus' family tree, we see the very nature of our Savior, making us new. Giving us life, forgiving those that others won't forgive. He turns sinners into saints, and that's why we celebrate Christmas. That's why we gather here tonight, to celebrate Jesus Christ. That's what we do with our resumes. We scrub and clean and try to look better, but guess what? You don't have to do that. You don't have to do that because Jesus Christ has already scrubbed it. Jesus has disinfected it. Jesus already put the mask on it. You know, you come as you are, and you give yourself to him, and God changes you. Jesus didn't come to be your critic or to condemn you, but to save you. John 3:17 says this, "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." You don't have to. There's nothing you can bring. There's nothing you can give to make him love you more. He's done it all. So the good news of the Christmas message, I think, is to quit living like this is a fairy tale. You know, we have the C&E crowd, you know, the Christmas and the Easter crowd. And this year, things were really kind of messed up because Easter, we weren't even, I mean, I think we just started opening again. But it's not about gathering together in a building. It's about opening our lives to Jesus Christ, being led by him, sharing with him, sharing the good news. And Matthew, I think Matthew is screaming that at us from the very first verse through that whole section. He is screaming at us, "Behold, Jesus has come. Our Savior is born. He is Jesus. Maranatha, come, Lord, quickly come." And that's our prayer for tonight. Will you pray with me? Oh, most gracious Heavenly Father, we love you and thank you. And Father, it is because of your love for us that we gather here. As we celebrate the birth of Jesus into the world, the incarnation of God here on this planet, Father, we celebrate also the Christmas that happens in our heart each and every day because Christ has been born in us. Father, I pray that we would take this message, this light, and we would hold on to it, not as a fairy tale that we just share with each other once a year to try to be in good spirits or because it's something that we're supposed to do, but Father, we would live this out every day, that Jesus would be real in us and Jesus would speak through us and would use us. And Father, we thank you for all this in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.